Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Sarah McLaughlin, Instruments of Peace, one of my favorite songs.
And I have to tell you, I was in India, I think that might have been about 4 or 5 years ago. And I happened to have come across a video of a woman who was in Africa, and she had bumped into a child that was on the streets. And apparently there's some superstition that if the child is born with two different colored eyes, the child is cursed. And so they would basically get rid of the child and leave the child on the street until they would pass away. Anyway, this woman from Sweden ended up bumping into this child and would gently every day, you know, just try to give him a little milk, a little food, a little stuff. Long story short, she ends up reviving, adopting the child. The child has, you know, graduated college, is doing well. And while I was in India, that song was playing as I was watching the video. Talk about tears. It was just like, you know, there were tears of hope for our humanity. And I remembered so specifically telling Sister Gita in my eyes, like bawling. I was telling her, you see, no matter what our karmic accounts are, after a while we do settle them. It does become neutralized, Sister Gita. Love will always end up winning at the end of the game. And I have to tell you, that song always reminds me of that story. I hope you're having a good day today. And as we, I don't know if it's celebrate, but as we walk into Good Friday, to really look at our lives and reflect more about how we are showing up in the world. And I heard that today in South Africa, another church collapsed. And it just makes us really wonder about our own personal faith of what is going on. And it's not a negative, but it's just a wake-up call. And so here we have the Good Friday, which represents, I believe, the crucifixion of Jesus is commemorated by the church. It's traditionally a day of fasting and penance. But it's also a day for us to really look deeper than our own inner world and begin to ask ourselves serious questions. If we really are living our life of faith, our life of love, our life of compassion and empathy. And I know being in Washington, the energy is really, really thick. And I know that when we tune in, even if it's just scrolling through social media, you can't help but still dedicate a minute or two to hearing what's going on the news. And that adds to our anxiety and our fear and makes us question, you know, why did a particular event happen over 2,000 years ago, which was to remind us of love and compassion and empathy? And who better to have a conversation with today other than my great friend, the Reverend Sylvia Sumter. She and I will be just sharing about what it means and how do we welcome the Easter weekend that is about to approach. It's been a very, very charged week with the Church of Notre Dame going up in flames. And even though many of the relics have been saved, again, we are questioning. There are signs. A church in South Africa collapsed yesterday. Signs. And I guess we need to talk about this and we need to understand what it might mean and how do we move forward. Reverend Sylvia Sumter is the Senior Minister of Unity of Washington, D.C. She previously served as the Chairperson of Communication Studies and Skills Department for the Unity School of Religious Studies in Unity Village, Missouri. And she continues to teach and to help others expand their spiritual consciousness and vision by living in the awareness of the divine through prayer, meditation, and practicing spiritual principles for living life fearlessly and with authenticity. And I'd like to welcome my dear friend, Reverend Sylvia. Hey, how are you?
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Jenda. I'm doing absolutely wonderfully well, even though this is Good Friday.
Yes.
And so I'm taking the day to reflect and to be present.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me.
Always. You know, I can tell the whole world that's listening that you're one of the kindest, most genuine, authentic, beautiful souls that I've met, and your friendship has always meant a lot to me. I know that on a day like today, there might be certain, like, sensitivities emotional feelings for those of us who I would call old souls, you know, souls who perhaps might have been on the journey with Jesus back in the day or might have somehow deeply committed their souls to a particular value that, you know, has stemmed from the journey and the steps of this incredible person on the world stage. So sometimes we can feel a little bit of, you know, stuff. Do you ever get, like on Good Friday, a little bit of a melancholy feeling, like, you know, after all that the soul represented, you know, looking back at history and wondering, you know, why haven't we learned our lessons? And how do we, as children of this time, children of God, actually help our humanity to get back to compassion?
Yeah, that's a powerful question, a wonderful question. And in fact, I've noticed over the time that I do in fact feel a sense of quiet, the need for a quiet reflection on Good Friday. And someone asked, well, why do we call it Good Friday if it represents the crucifixion experience? And we like to call it God's Friday. But it's a time, yeah, you know, instead of Good Friday, it's God's Friday. But it is a time that encourages us to kind of go within, just as you said, go within and perhaps look at those moments in time and in our lives when perhaps things did not go as well, or we may have felt cast down or not valued, or had some tragedies in our lives, experiences, or we felt betrayed, or we haven't lived up to our potential, whatever it is, because every soul has those moments in life. But if we can take the time to acknowledge them and to be still in the midst of them, in the midst of that experience, then we get to see the other side. Because you really can't have like a you can't have a resurrection without a crucifixion. It's all a part of the life journey. So we have ups and we have downs, and we have, you know, the ability to look at, I love the song you played, because that was the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, that song. And we have ups, we have downs. We have times of sorrow, we have times of joy. And if we can look at all of it as part of the process of life, then perhaps when we are in those down moments, those crucifixion moments, we can remember, if we can remember while we're in the midst of it, that this too shall pass, that there's hope. You know, there is reason to have hope in a brighter day, a new tomorrow, a new beginning, you know, a new life experience.
And that's what I felt. That's what I felt, too, that it really is a sign of hope, and that we need to begin to live more from that place rather than the doom and gloom, because sometimes out of tragedy comes the amplification of love. And unfortunately, it just seems the way that we work. It just seems the way that we learn more. It has to be tragic rather than comfortable and easygoing for us to really get going. So for those of us who might be ignorant, and there are not many of us on the planet, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's an interesting time because this has been Holy Week. We're about to enter into Easter weekend, and you heard about the burning of Notre Dame this morning. A church in South Africa collapsed, and it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time. What is your spin of what you think the signs all mean to us as a humanity?
Well, for me, if I look at the outer experiences, it always is a reflection of what takes place within the soul, within our own lives, within what's taking place. So we see a collapse, yes, we see a collapse. But what that says to me is it's a wake-up call to recognize, have we allowed the church within us, you know, have we allowed our spirituality to sort of just be so complacent and so non-existent that soul collapses? It's a wake-up call, because I think we are on fire, you know, but it's a transformation. It's a fire that is sort of helping us to wake up. And it's sort of like, I think, a burning away of all the non-essential things so that that which is pure can remain. And sometimes it takes something like an outer experience for us to recognize, wow, what's taking place within my own soul and my own consciousness? Am I present? Am I loving? Am I being superficial? You know, I heard you mention about our spirituality. Where's the level of my own conviction and my own spirituality? And sometimes, you know, you have to have a loud wake-up call to take you within. And that's what this weekend is about, the crucifixion mm-hmm. and the resurrection. It's about a mm-hmm. wake-up call, you know? And I'll say this.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Say it.
Well, what I was going to say is I heard you, and I love the fact that you mentioned that this time doesn't have to be doom and gloom. Even though mm-hmm. Good Friday represents the crucifixion, we like to look at it as it's reminding us the cross is not a symbol necessarily for gloom and doom and suffering. Let it be a symbol for overcoming, because that's what it represents. On Easter, there was an overcoming of the cross or the crucifixion experience. So we take that we have everything within us to overcome any limitation, any seemingly, you know, doubtful situation. And that's what it represents, the power that we are empowered mm-hmm. from to cross out any limitation.
I love that thought. Me too, and that's why I love talking with you, because when you get into Bible Girl, you make it right. And I love that about you. Now, some people, you know, they say that Easter is a pagan holiday. Could you explain how you look at it? Because it isn't.
Right. Well, you know, if we do some research, the term Easter, it came early on, the earliest research, because it came from a goddess named Easter. And it really, she represented the coming of spring. So when this experience, and spring, of course, represents what? New life, dormant plants coming alive again, greenery, a wonderful opening up, a season of new beginnings. And it correlates perfectly with the resurrection, because that is also a symbol of new life and new beginnings and a blossoming of what one might have thought was dead or ceased to be. And so a lot of the major holidays were actually dated around seasonal transformation. So, which is why some people now don't call it Easter. They want to call it the Resurrection Sunday instead of Easter Sunday. But it's all symbolic. It's all symbolic of new life. That's what the message is. You can begin again. You can
begin
again.
Now, where did the Easter bunny come from?
Well, the same thing Santa Claus came from.
like the Easter bunny and the eggs. How did that get into the picture?
Well, eggs are part of the Passover experience. And see, Easter and Passover always come at the same time of the year. So this is also, we can also wish our Jewish friends a happy Passover. So Passover and Easter are linked together in the same time-wise. But the egg represents new life. Egg, there's life. So from that, who knows, the people who are our commercial advocates and who will always seek an opportunity to bring some type of a secular view of a religious experience, whether it's Santa Claus in relationship to the birth of Jesus or the Easter Bunny in relationship to the resurrection. So for those who don't observe their spiritual or religious occasions, they have equated a non-secular experience around the holiday time. So you have the Easter Bunny, you know, bringing Easter eggs of new life and joy and that kind of thing. But it's a commercial, you know, representation of a spiritual experience.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, when we look at the fact that sometimes we don't dive deep enough to understand the spiritual significance of things, we take things at, you know, face value, it can create a lot of division, a lot of prejudices, it can create a lot of hate, a lot of anger. And I've had quite a number of conversations, and a lot of pastors that I know, and you know, I spend time with so many folks from various religions, it doesn't matter to me what faith you belong with. I have heard, however, that, you know, the churches just aren't packing up as much as they used to. I suspect this weekend it's going to be really super packed. But then after Easter vacation, folks go back to sort of their normal routine. Is there a reason why you think the churches aren't as crowded as they used to be? Is there some reason behind that?
Well, I can't give a definitive reason. And let me say this. I don't believe it's solely the churches. I believe the same thing is occurring in mosques and synagogues and many of the religious places of worship around the globe. Because I think as we have progressed as people, we have placed our spiritual lives on hold, and we have decreased the importance of spirituality. Some people have. And I think this is a society that's very fast-paced, and it's the digital era, and perhaps we have it passed on the deeper spiritual meanings that in a way that the young people feel that it's relevant. You've got to show people why a spiritual experience is actually relevant to their own life experience. And perhaps we have fallen down on that matter because there's more freedom. When I was a child, we didn't have freedom to decide whether we were going to go to church or not. You know, you went because that's what the family did. Well, now that, you know, that we've grown and we've unfolded, so we haven't really passed along that, like, as you just said, a deeper meaning of what it means. If you keep religion from a traditional standpoint as something that's a separate and apart from your current experience, well, then after a while, people are going to see that it's irrelevant. And I think that's what most of our spiritual organizations and religions perhaps have missed the beat, helping these young people, because every generation that comes along is a little bit wiser, a little bit, you know, clearer, and we have to, you can't approach them in the same way. You have to meet them where they are. And I don't think we've done a good job at that.
Haven't you found that even when you do meet folks where they are, there still seems to be a sense of, maybe it's that freedom, like everyone's got so much freedom, but we're also in need of more amplified wisdom in order to make the right choices. Because I know that you speak very clearly, and I know it makes sense, but even after I hear it, I still move on to my own pattern, my own routine. And once in a while, I'll touch base with you. Like, I'll go to church. Yeah, I feel like going to church today. How do we make it important for folks to recognize that thoughts, words, and behavior practiced consistently does create a reality? And if we were to make church or study of self or reflection, meditation, a consistent practice in one's life, that this would be the benefit of it. Have you ever observed that, you know, that's a message that maybe we haven't heard enough? Because a lot of times you hear people say, you go to the synagogue, or the mosque, or the church. I hear it mostly with church. That, you know, they just want to put their, they want to fill their coffers, you know, put money in their pockets. And I always feel so uncomfortable when I hear that, and I don't know why yet, but I feel like, but it's natural. You go out and buy a shoe for $400. Why can't you do the same joy in putting $100 for something that makes your spirit nicer?
I agree with you 100%, but it has to be, we've done too much separation, so we compartmentalize everything. My religion is over here, my work life is over here, my personal relationships are over here, my government and political life, civic life is over here, And so everything is separate. When we can take and help people to understand that your spiritual consciousness infuses everything that you do. So we have to get these values and this way of being as a way of living and being, not an experience that you do. So it's not a matter of going to church, but it's or recognizing some outer exterior place as being important, but that interior, the church within you, the mosque within you, the synagogue within you, because that's the holy place, is the holy standing ground. The ground you stand on is holy ground. So we haven't helped people to make the connection that they are living temples of God, of the divine, and that as they bring the spiritual approach and consciousness to forbear, then their lives are going to change. And I think this next great revolution has to be a spiritual one. Because that's going to be a saving grace when people wake up spiritually.
I
and
get
I'm not
that.
Talking religion. I'm talking spirituality, not religion.
I get that. Hey, everyone, if you're tuning into America Meditating Radio, I'm having a heart-to-heart conversation with Senior Pastor of Unity of Washington, D.C., the very Reverend Sylvia Sumter. And we're talking about Easter and Good Friday and what do all these symbols mean and how do we show up in these times? I mean, can you imagine Jesus having a cell phone? I mean, it's just a different time, and we're looking for ways in which we can bring the best of ourselves to our planet. And so what I'd like to do is take us into just a little meditation, and as we come back to Reverend Sylvia, we'll talk a little bit further about life questions, like, you know, who is God to her, and what is soul? And so let's take a pause, and here is Carolyn Mace on Grace. Enjoy.
Grace is the breath of God. Grace has many expressions. And without a doubt, it has engaged in your life so many times you have no idea. How do I know when grace is in my life? Start with the premise it's in your life. The question you should be asking is, how do I ascend to where I can bear to cope with all the grace in my life? because grace has always been around you. It is that you may think of it as something other than what it is. And I think that if you understood how often and how much your lives have been protected, guided, intervened by heaven, your jaw would drop on the floor. And that is the nature of grace. And it's an itsy bitsy voice, but everybody has that. It's like a wave of guilt that goes through you that says, are you really sure you want to say that or think that about that person? That's grace in action. That's grace that comes in and says, take that back. That's how grace operates in your life. It saves you from doing something harsh and dark and gives you an option to do something good and light in its place. Grace is the breath of God.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. That was Carolyn Mace on grace and how appropriate as we welcome in the Easter weekend. And I'm having a heart-to-heart conversation with my dear friend, Reverend Sylvia Sumter, who is the senior minister of Unity of Washington, D.C. We're talking about a lot of things, but we're talking about a deeper spiritual awakening as we enter into this season with a lot of stuff happening around us, from a church collapsing in South Africa this morning to the Church of Notre Dame going up in flames this week to the Mueller report getting released. And it just feels like we need a deep experience of God right now. And Reverend Sylvia, if I were to ask you, when you pray, meditate, and sit in remembrance of God, how do you do it? What do you do?
Well, I'm going to offer a quote from one of my early spiritual teachers. And he would say that we should not necessarily pray to God, but that we should always pray from the awareness of God. And I love that, because if I pray to God, I place God somewhere outside of myself in some far-off, distant place. But when I pray from the awareness of God, then I have the sense that God's presence is with me, with every breath that I'm taking, always available, always present. It's called the presence. So for me, when I pray, I allow myself to kind of get still. And it just happened this morning. I felt my mind and my emotions were all out of whack. And that happens to me sometimes on Good Friday or during the season. And I watched that. And I said, now I could allow myself to go in that direction. Or, you know what? Why don't you get still? Why don't you take a few deep breaths? Because the breath is the spirit, the living energy of God. So I began to just breathe and to release the mind's activity to go off in, you know, some weird thought, and to be present just by simply breathing and being aware of my holy breath, the divine spirit that's with me. And that enables me to sort of calm my mind and my thoughts down a little bit so that I could be more present instead of emotionally, you know, just on a tear, but to be more grounded. And that helps me to remember that God's presence is always available, even in the tough times.
Yes, yes. And when you talk about soul or spirit, is it the same? What is the soul?
So we have a different perspective. The soul, we say, because we are spirit, soul, and body, or spirit, mind, body, being. There's the spirit that is our divine connection. It's the breath of life, the energy of the divine. That's what spirit is, the spiritual energy that gives life, that is life. The soul has to do connected to our consciousness. It's our mind and all levels. We say it's a part of our superconscious, our subconscious, and our conscious mind. And within all of that is our ability to take this conscious awareness and to be present to God, to lift up your consciousness or your thoughts to the spirit, as well as we can look at life from the body experience, from the manifest realm, from the physical realm. I can take my soul, which stands in between the spirit and the body, and I could either look to the spirit or I could either express out in the body form. Now, when I do the body, sometimes that's the manifest realm, and it's not necessarily the highest level that I would want to achieve, although I am a physical being, but I'm a spiritual being as well. So I like to take the spirit, soul, and body, or spirit-mind-body connection, take my mind, my soul, my thoughts, my feelings, my perceptions, my perspective, my values, and turn it toward the spirit. And then bring that spiritual consciousness into the physical, into my body, into the world, into the manifest realm.
I think we have a different interpretation about that. I mean, spirit and soul is energy, and the body is the chariot that the soul rides in. And whatever the soul is experiencing, it's expressing it through the body. I get that.
Okay. Excellent.
Yes. I get that. So in our closing remarks, please share with our listeners your Easter message to bring them deeper and higher into their enlightenment.
So I would just say this is a time, especially now on our planet, for all of us to remember that we are light beings, we're energy beings, but we have the light of the divine within us. And it is our time, we're being asked on a soul level to just share our light, share our love, and to express that, because that is what is going to really raise the vibrations on the planet and enable compassion and love and truth and all things good to be expressed so that everybody gets to experience heaven on earth. And I just see this as a season for time, you know, it's our time to shine.
It is. And 4 months from now, aren't you planning to also wake up humanity even more? What's happening 4 months from now?
Yes, thank you. So 4 months from now, we're gathering millions of souls to come together to the nation's capital to stand up for humanity. And this is an opportunity every person from every walk of life, every religion, every cultural experience, every person, let's come together and stand for that which makes us all one. We are one people on the planet. So we're going to be meeting at the Reflection Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool August 10th at 6 o'clock. There'll be wonderful speakers and singers and music and just celebrating life and one another and holding each other up with compassion and love.
And so where can they find information about it?
Yes, you can go to, you can find it on Stand Up for Humanity or unityofwashingtondc.org. And there's a click on that and you'll see Stand Up for Humanity. And you can place an actual example of how you plan to stand up. Because one person, the theme is one person can make a difference. And as you let your
beautiful
light shine, you smile, you do something positive, it'll affect the collective.
Lovely. Reverend Sylvia Sumter from Unity of Washington, D.C., thank you for amplifying compassion as we approach Easter weekend. All the very best.
Thank you so much. Happy Resurrection Day to everybody.
Out of tragedy will always be the amplification of love, folks. And it's not that we have to get used to the energy of tragedy waking up love, because we are love. But I think that we're learning enough to just say, let me live every day in consistent love and empathy and grace and peace and purity, just so that we don't have to put so much in to just, you know, survive. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Reverend Sylvia Sumter. And I'm going to be at Stand Up for Humanity on August 10th, and I'd love for you to be too. So please go and check out what she's up to. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So here is Grace by Carmen Lundy. Take care, everyone.
With our hands to the ground, amazing grace. We have died for so long, with our hands under the boot. Why they will call it me, why for not, amazing grace. Becomes my enemy. My enemy from the birth. It's been a long
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.